Welcome to Verity Ed, where parents are primary. Today I am addressing the number one question I get from moms of families of all sizes. What do you do with the little kids while you're homeschooling everyone else? Now, the sweet dramatic irony behind this film is that I have already tried to record this, but I was interrupted. Yes, you guessed it, by the little kid. So by the end of this video, you will have 6 tips for occupying or involving your little kids in your homeschool life. But first, don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you don't miss a single episode from Verity Ed. Let's get right to tip number one. Number one, you have to think intentionally about your smaller children, your preschool age children, as much as you think about your older kids. I know that when I'm looking forward to starting a new academic year, I tend to get caught up in the curriculum and the book choices and the lesson plans and the, oh my gosh, we're going to learn all this stuff. And I'm really in my head only thinking about my older children. But it is as important to be intentional in planning the year for your younger children as well. And I don't mean you have to have a lesson plan or a schedule for every single one of your little kids, because that could be really overwhelming. But what I mean is to think about your homeschool culture as a whole family project, so that yes, your two-year-old is going to be a factor in the grammar and spelling and mathematics for your 6th, 7th, or 8th grader. Now, with intentionality for the younger set of children, I like to split it up in my mind to give me some sense of control. I split it up in my mind into the ideas of time and space. Now, to look at time first, yes, I am talking about a schedule, and some of you might be listening or watching this and thinking, that poor woman, you can't schedule a baby and a two-year-old and a three-year-old and potty training and all of these things. But bear with me. It is possible to begin to coach them and to habituate the younger children into a rhythm of the day that will fit into the lives and needs of the entire family. And many of us already do this instinctively, or it just kind of happens naturally, not with all children, but with most, that throughout their younger years, they have an afternoon downtime, whether they're napping still, which is wonderful, or they've sort of revolved the door into more of a quiet, alone playtime after lunch. But we see these rhythms throughout the day. We also see them upon rising. There are certain needs that they have when they first get up that are, for the most part, predictable, followed by the need for eating again throughout the day, and then at the end of the day, some kind of predictable routine for bed. And this is the beginning of a very sort of rudimentary schedule. And not only is it good for the young child, but it's also really good for the parents. Because when we take the time to notice what their sort of, I guess, natural schedule looks like, we can also start to coach it into something increasingly predictable as they approach the school years. So when you're sitting and you're thinking about your upcoming homeschool time, you want to notice the natural rhythms of your toddler and infant's days and capitalize on them. So what I mean by this is, of course, there's the big nap time that we've all, you know, sort of thought of first is like, okay, I have nap time. What am I going to get done? But don't like try and cram all of your activities into nap time because they're just not there. Think about other times of day when they're more amenable to or likely to be incorporated into your homeschool. So for example, making sure that they're well fed and they have a high glucose level with some protein snacks throughout the morning at specific times. Usually a snack time for little kids buys you 3 to 10 minutes, during which you can do an oral recitation with an older child. You could all sit around the table with snacks while mom looks at a big painting if you're doing art appreciation. You can start to incorporate these pauses in the day to feed the younger children into the academic goals of your homeschool life. You'll also notice that they have periods where they're absorbed in some kind of play. Some kids have a really hard time with this. Others will, after a snack or after a diaper change, just sort of naturally want to go be alone and process what just happened or something. But over the course of the next week, just watch your child or your young children, if you have multiple, and try and notice when it is or what triggers these times when they're more likely to be absorbed in their own kind of play, or where they're more likely to be happy going off with a sibling to play for a little bit so that you can start the dishwasher or move the laundry load or check the math of another child. We also have the rhythm of the diaper change. So if you have children in diapers who do not need schooling and you have children out of diapers who do need schooling, make sure that you've checked the baby's diaper before you sit down for a lesson or a concentrated effort with those older non-diapered children. And that's just from experience. So once you've noticed these patterns in your child's day, again, you can start to hold them to those patterns and plan for those patterns as much as possible when you're looking at your homeschool schedule and your family life. They're not as reliable as for older children. Obviously, everyone who's listening or watching and you have small children, we are like, okay, wait, I thought I would get a nap time today. Where's the nap time? It's not happening. But to remember that for the most part, young children are moving from a more chaotic, unpredictable life towards a predictable life. So that's how we're intentional about our young children's time. Let's think about space. So I like to have a safe and contained area where the infants and toddlers can play. And yes, it's usually under my feet. So taking the baby gates and blocking off the dining room where we do most of our homeschooling and blocking off the kitchen so they can't get in there where there's all the hot buttons and things to touch and lots of food to get into. But keeping them, even if it's under your feet, in the dining room. If it has to be in that same room as you, only allow cuddly or soft, less noisy toys in there, because you're going to be trying to run some older children in their lessons while the younger children are playing usually under the table, and using like loud wooden blocks, for example, can make it more difficult. It's not going to make it easy to have soft, cuddly animals, but it's going to be less difficult than an electronic leapfrog toy, for example. Also thinking about space for your small children, if they can be in a room and not in your line of sight, make sure that you have an older child who you can station with a history reader or some easier workbook pages, just to be the responsible party in the room with the small children. This is one of the benefits of a wide family where you have older children to help take care of their younger siblings. Tip number two, be strategic about the hard things. Don't plan to wean the baby off of the pacifier in the second week of your academic year. And don't plan to potty train the two-year-old during February or March, where everyone is already sort of burning out and going a little crazy. So yes, there are going to be hard things that we can't anticipate, and they're just going to happen, like someone's going to need stitches in the middle of November, and someone's going to have some medical issue in the middle of March. But for the things that you do have control over, try to plan them around Christmas breaks, maybe a two-week spring break, or during the summer months when most people are off of school, off of academics. This would include also things like moving the baby from a crib to a real bed, or moving rooms around for your children. So all of these considerations, when you're gonna do a big thing, try and move it to times when it's not going to interrupt the semi-flow of your homeschooling life. And just as a sort of coda to that, doctor's appointments aren't really a hard thing if they're just the usual well child visit or routine or dentist cleanup, but I do try to only schedule them for one day a week. Usually for me it is Tuesdays, and usually in the mornings, because I work full time, we try and do a little bit of extra work on Monday for doctor dentist weeks, get everyone in and through on Tuesday morning, and then pick things up again on Wednesday. But trying to have some consistency around elective appointments can also help massively in the mental health of your homeschool world. Tip Number three, and this is one you hear if you Google this question, what do I do with little kids while I'm homeschooling big kids? This is the number one that comes up, but it comes up because it really does work. Have special school time only activities for the little ones. This means you have manipulatives or toys or certain things that they can only do while mom's attention is primarily focused on other children or tasks. And this is something that, you know, I've done better and I've done worse through the years, because the temptation is, oh, I have all these cool buckets of, you know, school time only activities, and sometimes the kids are like, can I please? And I'm like, I break down, I'm like, okay, just this once, yeah, you can just get it out. But I find that the harder a line I take early on with these are for school time only, the more rewards and benefits this particular hack will give. So examples of items that I have used, there are lacing cards. These have worked better with girls, small girls, than with my son, I have to say. But lacing cards that are very beautiful, and I would highly recommend the super cute Catholic lacing cards from the Catholic Company. They have animals, they have St. Francis and St. Clair, and they're very, very special, and they only come out when mommy's doing phonics. We also have special coloring books that are only used during school time. My favorite kids coloring book is also available from the Catholic Company, and it is the Day by Day Saint coloring book. You can access it here through my affiliate code, and I just love it not only for the little kids because of the simplicity of the drawings, but also because the saint stories can be used for narrations for my older children while they are coloring the pictures. So check out that resource. I also like things that are sort of educational so that they feel, the little kids feel like they're participating in school. So for example, cut out letter shapes. You can get wooden letter shapes for like a dollar each at Joann Fabric or Michael's. Toy cars, like a toy car bucket that again only comes out at certain times of the day. We have a set of toy animals as well that are plastic and can be put into water. I'll get to that in a minute. Other things that seem to work well are pipe cleaners or tape. I have found that my toddlers, if you give them little pieces of scotch tape or masking tape and you stick them to things and you just kind of let them play with the tape, you can get 10 to 20 minutes sometimes off of that tape. So give it a shot. And I would say part of my planning for what to do with little kids does include splurging on art supplies. You can read about it in my book, Outside the Box, that you can download at verityed.com, and how I try to create an environment that's conducive to creativity, to education. But I do suggest that you splurge on a few different art things, such as a Play-Doh. I really like washable watercolors for the younger years because they can make a mess if I have to not have my eyes on them because, oh, I'm correcting a Latin test or something. It's all right if they get over the table or they spill them on the floor. Blick Art is my favorite art supplier. I love them for their paper and I love them for their watercolors for kids. They have these great little watercolor rounds that are all just tones of the same color. So if you give your child like the green round with the light green and the forest green and the lime green and the white, you might actually get something at the end of the day that you want to hang on the wall because, I mean, who doesn't want abstract two-tone color art? I do. Blick Art also has a colorable art house, which can keep your kids busy for the first couple of weeks while you and the older children are getting yourself situated. But the point is that having these particular activities that are only out during homeschooling hours can really just encourage an environment where the family is about a certain project together at this time. So yes, the little two-year-olds might be doing watercolors while the six-year-old is doing a phonics lesson, while the seventh and ninth graders are finishing up their math, but everyone has their project and it becomes part of the rhythm of the family. The rhythm of the family, da-da-da-da-da, that's the rhythm of, don't use that. Okay, my final special school time only activity is the water bucket. One of the rules of toddler happiness is water. If you are having a bad day, put them in a bathtub or get a big gallon bucket, couple gallon buckets, go out in the yard, sit them there, put the plastic animals in it, give them a few measuring cups and let them play. I can sit by my toddlers and watch them splash in water as long as I don't get too stressed out about the mess and the mud. I can watch them and I can usually be also talking to an older sibling through a lesson at the same time. So water is one of my key ingredients for little kid occupation during schooling. Tip number four, give yourself time for training. And I'm gonna get a little controversial here. Some moms will find this a little bit too much in terms of training a toddler. And you have to take it with a grain of salt and look at your own children's needs and your own family's goals in terms of attachment. But I really do try and take the first 4 weeks of school, giving myself a lot of grace time, giving the kids a lot of grace time to try out this whole new year thing, especially if you're coming off of a longer break, like Christmas you took 3 weeks, Easter you took 2 weeks, summer you took maybe 12 to 14 weeks off. Whenever you're coming back into it, remember that every child's coming back into it a little bit older with new abilities, new independence, new needs. And they have to get back in the habit, and forming the habits of learning and of working together as a family from babies to parents just takes time. So I really try and see the first 4 weeks as transition time. And here's where my controversy comes in. My conviction is that even a very small child, 2, 3, or 4 years old, can begin to learn that mommy's attention is not always 100% owed to them, meaning mommy is not always on call for you. That doesn't mean she doesn't care. It doesn't mean that she's not there if there's an emergency and you have what she judges to be great need. And it doesn't mean that you won't get lots of snuggles and story time and nature walks and all this wonderful stuff that comes with homeschooling. But it does mean that even a small child can hear the words, "Not right now, I will be with you in a moment." So for example, the first 4 weeks of school, you might hear this often in my home. I turn to the four-year-old and just say, "This is mommy's time with your older sister, with Anna. You can do X or Y." I give her a choice so that she has a little bit of control. And then I say, "And when I am done with Anna, I will come and check in on you." Or, "When I am done with Anna and Xavier, we will go and do a nature walk together, or we will read this book together. But you have to wait until then." And again, this is a long training time, especially if we're coming off a summer where it's just like, "Sure, I'll read you a story right now," or, "Yeah, you know what, let's just forget the laundry and I'll go outside." But helping her to come to a place where mommy's not always 100% on call. Now, why is this controversial, and why is it okay if this doesn't jive with you? Well, some parents have an approach of wanting their young children to know that they are completely and utterly loved at all times, and part of this for that family might look like more attachment parenting, where there are no no's, there's a lot of, you know, wrapping in the Maya wraps and carrying and holding. And can you do attachment parenting and homeschool older children? Absolutely. I see it work all the time. I'm just letting you know what has worked for our family, and that includes things like training in a little bit more. I'm not always 100% present to you, but that doesn't mean I won't be later on. So we go through this for about 4 weeks. There are going to be days that it works. There are going to be days where it just devolves into a tantrum and there's lots of whining. But what I'm looking for is over those 4 to maybe 6 weeks, depending on how many toddlers it is. When I had 3 children not schooling and 3 children schooling, it took a lot longer, like maybe the whole first semester, not to discourage anyone there, but just to give you realistic. Sometimes it takes longer. But it was very important for me to just be, are we progressing towards the goal of having rhythms and times of the day where my attention can be with another child? And if the answer is yes, you are progressing towards that goal, then awesome. And if it takes longer than you anticipated, try not to be frustrated. And maybe it'll take shorter and all of a sudden your children will be like, "This is great. I love my alone time." It'll depend a lot on the child. But anyway, give yourself the training time. Moving on to tip number 5. Get creative about what counts for academic time. And what I mean by that is you might have to let go of the vision of we're going to do homeschooling from 8 to noon and then we will be done with all subjects, all children, and they will all have mastered the arts of science, skill, all of that great stuff. So that might be a vision that just needs to stop and get a little more flexible during the season of life, which is a passing season of having non-schooling children and schooling children at the same time. So some ways that we've done this is by moving read alouds for the older children to the bedtime story. So while one parent is putting down the toddlers and the baby, the other parent is sitting with all the older children reading a children's classic in literature. And this has been one of our primary ways of getting that reading time together while also taking care of the needs of younger children. Another way, and I mention this in a lot of my videos, is incorporating younger children into the academic life of the older kids. And that can look like, for science, choosing a program or choosing activities that little kids can come and go into. So getting outdoors is a big one. Like water, which is magical to toddler happiness levels, getting outside is also just an amazing experience for them every time. They're like, look, the sun came up again today. It's so wonderful. Oh, it's that tree I saw yesterday. They love getting outside. So take advantage of that and get all your kids outside for science together. And while the little ones are distracted, you can open up the Handbook of Nature Study with the older kids and read a paragraph about a bird or a yellow-bellied sapsucker. Then the little ones will come back with sticks or they'll fall down and they'll need you. And the older ones can continue their lesson independently. But those are two examples of ways to work with the toddlers and their needs to get your kids of all ages involved in a great education. Tip number 6, and this is just explicitly stating my main thread throughout this entire video and podcast. Remember that they're going to change. So if you're in a situation right now where you have had small toddlers for 6 or 7 years, you're looking at another 3 to 4 years of having toddlers and older kids, it might feel like you're never going to get out of it. But I can't tell you how many homeschool moms I know who now have really forgotten what it's like to have to pack a diaper bag. And they're still homeschooling, and their older kids are awesome and are really the reason why I'm homeschooling at all. So somehow they got through it, and it was wonderful. And looking back, it's all like, oh, that was so great. It was hard, but it was great. And remembering that, like I said before, a 6-month-old and a 2-year-old starting off in August, by the end of the academic year, it's going to be a whole nother ball game. So we have our intentionality. We plan our time. We plan our space. We are intentional about giving them activities and incorporating them into the family as much as possible. But then also bearing in mind that they're going to grow and they're going to change over the course of the year in both ways that are freeing for you and ways that are frustrating for everyone. But to remember to be kind, to watch the habits and the virtues, to look to your goals, and to ask yourself if you're progressing towards them, not are you nailing them perfectly every homeschool day. And of course, just to round it off, I would also say give yourself a chance to get out of the house sometimes as well. Sometimes just a day away, or even for me, Saturday morning grocery shopping alone while dad and the kids do chores at home is enough space to get some objectivity and to step outside the fray and to get some new ideas as well. If you have access to a great homeschooling group, if you have a co-op or just a mom's morning out that you can get into, go to it. And don't be afraid of, you know, maybe someone will say something that makes you feel down, or maybe someone will say something judgmental and you'll just be like, aw. But really try and receive that as, look, they're also just trying to do the best that they can and be supportive. And how can I help them? And maybe, you never know, you'll get some more ideas about working with small and older children at the same time in your homeschool. So if you're feeling overwhelmed and like this is never going to end, just wait 3 months. Something that has also helped me from time to time, I'm not doing it right now, but in the past has really helped me, is to just list at the end of the day all of the things that I am grateful for. And some days it's like, I'm grateful that I took a shower this morning, and I'm grateful that the 2-year-old is still alive tonight. And it could be as little as that, but there are going to be days where you're like, I am so grateful that I got to see that aha moment on my 6-year-old's face. And I am so grateful that tonight my teenager came to me because she wanted to talk about her friends. And all of these wonderful moments, just reflecting on gratitude at the end of each day, can help so much and get you ready to face another one. There are going to be hard days, but there are going to be so many more great days, because you are primary, you by nature are the best educator of your child, and your grace, the grace of God, will build on that nature. So this has been Verity Ed. I hope this was helpful. If you have other tips, please join the conversation. Leave a comment below, or you can email me, erica@verityed.com. If you have more suggestions for moms who have a lot of littles right now and are trying this very mixed homeschooling household, I would love to collaborate with you. So I will see you next time on Verity Ed, where you are primary always. Take care until next time.